The governor's proposed budget means few bucks for Southeast at this point, and Haines Ferry customers get a reprieve to a new parking policy. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. People are still combing over Governor Sean Parnell's proposed budget he released Thursday. And while the details are still being sorted out, one thing is clear. There's a lot less spending in fiscal year 14, which means communities will likely have a hard time getting local projects funded. As is the norm, the governor's proposed budget is short on many local projects. The budget still has to go through the legislative process, which is when most community projects are added, after communities make formal requests, and if lawmakers are successful in getting them added. So, as it stands now, only a few projects that directly affect Haines and Skagway are included in the budget, and most of those projects are being funded from expected federal transportation funds. Included in the governor's proposed budget is $13.4 million to replace the Captain William Henry Moore Bridge on the Klondike Highway near Skagway, and $20 million for Haines Ferry Terminal modifications. The only other projects that might affect a local level are in terms of deferred maintenance for Southeast Armory installations and for Parks and Outdoor Recreation, although the details of those budget items weren't readily available. Like we said, most communities have yet to officially request money in the capital budget for specific projects. Interim Skagway manager Emily Deitch said she was pleased to see the Moore Bridge on the list, an important transportation corridor between Skagway and Canada. But she said local officials were warned there wasn't likely going to be as much funding available to municipalities as there has been in the past. Haines interim manager Julie Causey said she was still looking over the proposed budget and didn't yet have a response. Haines and Skagway have prioritized certain projects they would like to try to get state funding for. Skagway's priorities include some state funding for the second phase of the small boat harbor expansion, the Gateway Project, a new public safety facility, Klondike Highway bike path, and Main Street paving and sidewalks. In Haines, the borough is hoping for state money to help with water treatment facility upgrades, LUTAC dock upgrades, a new public safety building, road improvements, and South Portage Cove harbor expansion. The Haines Borough this week received an official reprieve from an Alaska Marine Highway Systems policy of no overnight parking at the Haines Terminal. The state recently reissued the no parking policy for all ferry terminal sites and said it would be enforced. But local communities could appeal that policy for various reasons, and Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott did. This week, the state sent a preliminary letter to Scott saying ferry customers would be allowed to park their vehicles, if under 25 feet, at the Haines Ferry Terminal for up to 5 days. Larger vehicles will be considered on a case-by-case basis, according to the state. And the waiver is only in effect until renovations of the terminal and dock are complete. The state will then have to revisit the waiver, according to Captain John Falvey of the Marine Highway System. And a day late, but a quick update on the Haines-Borough Assembly meeting from this week. After Tuesday's meeting had stretched to about 10 p.m., the Haines Borough Assembly met in executive session to discuss the status of borough manager candidates David Sosa and Susan Jensen. Following the executive session, the Assembly voted unanimously to continue the recruitment process with Sosa by contacting additional references and requesting he provide a, quote, community interface scenario, which would demonstrate how Sosa has interacted with non-military organizations. In the scenario, borough staff would contact some of the people he worked with in non-military scenarios to help in the evaluation of Sosa's fit for the manager job. At a recent public interview with Sosa, questions repeatedly touched on his lack of municipal management experience and how his career in the Marine Corps had prepared him for the transition. The Assembly has scheduled a special meeting for 5:30 Tuesday evening, December 17th, in Assembly Chambers for consideration of Sosa's hire. Assembly members said they would let Sosa know if he is their choice for the job by the following day, December 18th. The Assembly also voted unanimously to no longer pursue Jensen from Anchorage as a candidate. Also at Tuesday's meeting, the Assembly in a 4-2 vote designated a mile of the Chilkat River Beach from River Road to Carr's Cove as closed to motorized use, following lengthy public testimony that was mostly in support of the ordinance. The Assembly took several other actions at Tuesday's meeting, and I'll bring you more on those on our Monday evening newscast. Southeast Alaska commercial salmon trawlers, hatchery organizations, businesses, and municipalities have their last shot this winter at millions of federal dollars meant to make up for lower king salmon limits in the region. The Southeast Alaska Chinook Salmon Fishery Mitigation Program is expected to have paid out over $13 million by the time it's finished in 2015. The money has been doled out in direct payments to commercial troll fleet and also funded improvements to hatchery programs and sport fishing projects. Joe Vicnicki has more.
The 2009 Pacific Salmon Treaty Agreement with Canada resulted in a 15% cut to the king salmon catch in Southeast. Along with that reduction came federal appropriations of over $14.5 million. The state of Alaska created a Chinook Salmon Fishery Mitigation Program to spend the money. Gordy Williams is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's program coordinator.
It was recognized that the primary impact of these reductions was going to be onto the hook and line fisheries in Southeast and the industries and the communities that are affected by those fisheries. And that's where the funds have been targeted.
The state formed a stakeholder advisory group to make recommendations on spending the money in three different areas. Williams says one use of the money has been direct payments to commercial permit holders.
The commercial trawlers have the most one-to-one direct impact of this reduction in their summer fishery is where the largest amount of this 15% reduction is felt. So providing some compensation to those trawlers for the reduced amount of fish that they harvested in that summer season was recommended and approved by the state. It's gone forward.
Payments to the fishermen will total about $6 million by the time that program wraps up next year. Amounts vary depending on whether a permit holder has fished in recent years and the pounds caught during those years. The latest application period for direct payments closed in early December. Williams says another use of the money has been hatchery enhancement projects, primarily for king and coho salmon rearing and releases.
To provide some extra opportunity, it's included some hatchery upgrades and infrastructure, some additional production, development of some remote release sites, especially for the aid the sport fishery to put some opportunity into different areas. So it's been a suite of projects.
Once it finishes up, that part of the program will total around $3 million in enhancement projects. In the Petersburg area, the money has helped fund a heat exchanger for the King and Coho hatchery at Crystal Lake on southern Mitkoff Island. It's also financing a new remote release of Crystal Lake Kings near City Creek that's scheduled to start up in 2014. Elsewhere, it's paid for rearing capacity expansion, heaters, filters, and water supply upgrades for hatchery programs around Southeast. Another round of grants for enhancement is planned in 2014, and the application period for that program is open until early January. That's also the case for another grant program funded by the mitigation money. About $5 million is going to infrastructure projects proposed by municipalities, companies, and fishing businesses.
There's been work done on providing additional ice for sport and commercial boats in the region, been some infrastructure for helping with unloading and handling of fish. There's been some efforts put into fuel availability, and there's been a fair amount put into recognizing issues with the fish waste in the sport fishery in harbors. I know Petersburg and Sitka have used some of the funds to look at those issues.
In Petersburg, one grant will pay for a new fish cleaning float that the borough plans to install in South Harbor. Petersburg's borough assembly voted to spend some of the $225,000 grant for design work on that new float this month. Another grant of $45,000 goes to the Petersburg borough for a troller work float in the harbor. And the Petersburg seafood processing company Tonka Seafoods also plans to offer a fish cleaning station for the sport fishing fleet next year at Tonka's new location. That's about a mile south of downtown. The company won a grant of nearly $300,000 for the work. Tonka's Seth Scrimshire explains.
The plan is to remodel an existing float system we have here on the south side of the building. And we're going to turn that into a fish cleaning station complete with grinder to disperse the waste out into the narrows there.
Scrimshire hopes that grinding up and discarding the sport fish waste away from Petersburg's harbor could help with problem sea lions that are plaguing harbor users. The local sport fishing fleet will also have a new spot to get ice for their catch at Tonka's planned float. Scrimshire says Tonka plans to start work on that float in the spring. Tonka also won a grant to expand its troll fish buying. And elsewhere around the region, infrastructure grants have paid for ice machines, along with freezing and processing equipment for fishing boats and processing companies. Other examples are a fuel line extension in Yakutat, along with fuel tanks and a hoist for the fish buying station at the Wooden Wheel Trading Post in Port Protection on Northern Prince of Wales. The application period is still open for both salmon enhancement and infrastructure grants, but closes in early January. That will be the final round of grants under the program. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. And thanks to you, our listeners, for sticking with KHNS News this week, as I was actually out of the office most of the week. That's what happens in a one-person newsroom when you have to travel to Juneau for healthcare. And then there aren't any available flights back because of the weather. I kept up with your emails from afar, but wasn't quite able to broadcast local news from the capital city. Luckily, I planned ahead and was able to keep you updated on some more regional news. A special thanks to Program Director Amelia Nash for her help in keeping the news coming to you during this time. As always, thanks for listening to your local news on your community radio station, KHNS. We appreciate your support.